Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, make a decision. Make a decision. One more time. Make a decision. Praise the Lord. The Bible is full of great and precious promises. Promises, promises all over the Word of God. Promises in and over and throughout the Word of God. And when you read the Word, you continue to see more and more God continuing to say, I want to be here for my people. I want to bless my people. I want to do for my people. I want to exalt my people. I want to take my people and put them in a new position. However, the thing that traps and the thing that hinders every person from making all that God has for us is whether or not we have actually made the decision to receive whatever that promise is. See, when I was encountered with the gospel the first time in my life, I was a child, like Juan. I made a decision when I was encountered. I decided I want no parts to that. I went the other way. Okay? Over and over throughout the course of my life, I don't know why I must have been like a target for people to come talk to me about Jesus, but people would keep coming to me and they would keep talking to me about the Lord, and I would reject them because I would make a decision. I don't want no parts to that. I don't want religion. I don't want church. I don't want nothing to do with it. So I made a decision to go the opposite direction. Nothing happens in your life until you make a decision. Now, things will come and attach themselves to your life and will compress you and will come against you and will hit your physical body. But nothing happens to you because, see, you're not your body. Your body's where you live. The real you is the spirit on the inside of you, and nothing happens to you until you make a decision. Things will happen to your body. Things will happen to this, but nothing happens to you and who you really are until you make decisions about it. So turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. Matter of fact, let's bypass that. Go to Jeremiah, chapter 1. Let's go right to the chase. He's already built the foundation. I'll just go on and go all the way in. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. When you get there, tell your neighbor, this is the second message, so he better not take all day. All right, see, now y'all alive in here now. Y'all was worried I'm going to try to preach all afternoon. I know what's going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid for their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day, set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. God comes to Jeremiah and said, I called you. You're a prophet to the nations. Matter of fact, I've called you to be over both nations, governments. I've called you. But the first thing out of Jeremiah's mouth is not thank you, Lord. Man, praise God, I didn't realize that about myself. Thank you for the revelation, Lord. The first thing out of his mouth was an excuse. I can't go. I'm a child. I'm a youth. I'm only 12 years old. See, when God comes to you, he speaks something in your heart. Now, God never spoke to me like that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It's called a dream. See, God puts things in your heart, and it's a dream. I'm not talking about the sleepy dream. I'm talking about when you're minding your own business and you see yourself doing something. Wow, I see myself. And you see yourself being whatever it is, image that you see. But when you see it, that image comes to indicate to you God's calling on your life. So there's a man named Joseph, who is the 11th child, 11th boy, born to a man who was told that he was a child of promise. And so being a 11th in the group of sons, there's a lot of family dynamics going on, family things going on that make him kind of different than everybody else. But one day he has a dream. He realizes he gets a vision from God. And in the vision, he comes and tells his brothers, he said, I had a dream and here's what it was. The sun and the moon, they were bowing down to me, and there was these sheaves of wheat, and they all bowed down to me. They said, are you going to try to lord over us? And they got mad. He said, I saw this. This is what I saw. I'm not saying nothing about you. I'm saying me. This is what I saw me. Wow, look at this. I want to share it with my brothers. And they were not happy to hear it. And matter of fact, they were so unhappy about hearing it, they started looking at him different. And they started getting agitated with him. And eventually, they went to the level of saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kill this little joker. I'm tired of hearing about his vision. I'm tired of hearing about his dream. I'm tired of hearing about what he's going to do. He's trying to make us bow down to him. I'm going to make a decision to get rid of his voice. And they did. They tried to get rid of him. Because people want to get rid of you doesn't kill God's dream for you. Just because people who you work with don't want to hear that God's called you to do something great in the organization you work for doesn't mean that God's will is changed towards you. So God comes to Jeremiah and he says, Jeremiah, kings are going to change. Nations are going to change around you, but it's never going to change the fact that I am with you. You heard him talk about Moses, about how God said, as soon as Moses started making excuses, he immediately said, there is no excuse. I'm with you. I don't care if you can't speak. I knew you couldn't speak when I called you. But look at this verse. Look, go back to verse 4 again. Look at this again. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. If God knew you before you were formed, what possible excuse do you have? If God knows you before your parents even realize you are there, God knows you before anybody else. God knows you. And when God comes to you and says, I called you, how can you say, no, you don't know what's really going on with me? Lord, you don't know that I have this other side in me that I don't show everybody else. God said, yeah, I know. I'm trying to help you get rid of it. But that's another story. Amen. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you. Tell your neighbor you've been ordained. So don't wait for Pastor Derry to ordain you. Y'all say it. Don't wait for Pastor Derry to ordain you. You've been ordained. I met a guy and we were talking one day and he said, are you a minister? I said, yes. Now he asked me. I said, yes. He said, are you ordained? You're the one asking me. I told you yes. What else do you need to know? See, the question of whether you're ordained or not ordained, called or not called, does not lie in the minds of people. You're called if you hear it. If you don't hear it, then you ain't called. If you hear it, then you're called. When we were kids, we'd be out in the street playing. And, you know, we had the street light rule back when I was playing, because we couldn't go inside. You had to be outside playing, right? We had no Xboxes. We had to be outside. But when the street lights came on, you need to make your way home. You need to, and it would flicker first. You know, it would do that little, you know. And once you see the flicker, you know it's time to move. It's time to get going. If you resist and you ignore the flicker and you just keep on playing, eventually you're going to hear, you hear it coming down the street. What is it? Nobody else knows what it is. But if it's your name, you know it's your name. Y'all don't know what that means, right? Let me interpret for you. Derry Lee Moulton, come home. You hear it, you move. See, there's a calling on everybody's life, but the world system is trying to get you to doubt the calling that's on your life. It tries to get you to judge your calling on whether or not people can see it or not, or people can picture it or not, whether they can say, yeah, I believe that about you or not. If you get into the position where you're listening to God and God alone, you will find out that God's calling on you is probably bigger than you ever imagined. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth. Tell your neighbor, say, God, don't take excuses. God doesn't take excuses. He didn't take an excuse from Moses. Lord, I stutter. I can't speak. Don't worry, I got something for that. Lord, I'm a youth. I got something for that. Lord, Isaiah sees God. He said, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. God said, I got something for that. Whatever it is that's in hindering you from fully obeying God, God has something for it. God has something to deal with whatever it is. But what it requires, no matter who you are, you got to make a decision. See, the anointing is already on your life. The blessing is already on your life. Everything you need, you've been born with, because he knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. When before you were formed, he already knew you and ordained you. He already gave you everything that is possibly required to fulfill the mission that God has for your life. The only thing that is stopping us from fully walking in it is whether or not we have made a decision that we will not back off of. See, I made choices that I wasn't sure about. And when I made a choice, when things got hard, I went back, changed my mind, because it wasn't a decision, it was a choice. So there's a difference between making a choice and a decision. When I say, here, choose life or death, pick which one you want, you make a choice. And when you make that choice, if you've only made a choice and you haven't made a decision, then what happens is when you start getting into difficult times in life, then what happens is you say, maybe I made the wrong choice. I'm going to go back and make another choice because you haven't decided. Decision is, that's it. That's a goal. I'm in. I'm all in. So God calls Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chooses to become or makes a decision to be what God called him to be. I want you to turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. Like Jeremiah, Jonah was also a prophet whom God knew before he formed in his mother's womb. Like Jeremiah, Jonah was sent to a people to prophesy. Like Jeremiah, Jonah had an anointing of God, was ordained just like. But Jonah wasn't ready to make a decision. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, stay right there, listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 said, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying. See, the word of the Lord is coming to prophets. It's coming to people. The word of the Lord is coming to individuals. The word of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord is speaking to us, calling us, speaking to us, giving us instruction, giving us guidance. But the difference between the word of the Lord in Jeremiah and the word of the Lord in Jonah is whether or not a decision has been made to obey God no matter what. No matter what. Verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Say, you may be bad. Tell your neighbor, you may be bad, but you can't get away from the presence of the Lord. Look at that. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Where are you going to go to get away from the presence of the Lord? But he thought he got away. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But here's God. This is how persistent God is. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But listen to this. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. Everybody else on the boat is panicking, throwing cargo. Listen, there ain't no reason to take a boat out on the water unless you're transporting cargo to make some money. You tell, I'm not one for cruises. There's no other reason to be out here on this boat. They're not on a joy cruise. They are trying to trade, make money. They're trying to do this. And Jonah has brought himself to their boat, paid a fare, got on. And once everything starts going crazy because God's trying to get to him, everybody else is panicking and the problem is not theirs. Listen to this. You're ordained. When you don't fulfill what you're called to do, you put other people in jeopardy. We think we're making decisions for ourselves, but we're not. We're putting other people in jeopardy when we don't fulfill what God gave us to do. Because here's Jonah trying to run from the presence of the Lord, but he's then brought the anger of the Lord into the boat with these innocent people. Because he don't want to obey. Because he don't want to do what God told him. Oh, Lord. And then when they're panicking, where is he? Taking a nap. At the bottom of the boat, taking a nap. Taking a nap. False peace. Amen. Verse 6. So the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Man, you better get up. You better get up. We're trying to find a solution here, man. What's wrong with you? He was asleep because he knew what the solution was. He's trying to get away from it. Verse 7. They said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on who? On Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for what cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? What country did you come from? Where are you from? And what people are you? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord of God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? They turned on him. For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. All right. America. America's in a tempest. America's in a serious tempest. It's in a big problem. A big, big problem. The United States of America is in a serious tempest, and it's reaching for everything it can to bring peace. It's reaching for better financial solutions. It's reaching for better social solutions. It's reaching for everything to try to calm the sea. It's being politically correct. We don't want to offend this, and we don't want to offend that. And so the only way we can get peace is to try to make sure that we're creating this artificial peace. They're throwing things overboard. They're trying to find out. And you know what happens? They walk into a church and say, what are y'all sleeping up in here? See, the church has gotten insulated. The church has gotten to where we are so focused on using our faith for stuff that we forgot our faith is given to give us to go into all the world and preach the good news, preach the solution, preach what God has given us to make change and bring a transformation to the world. We forgot. We went to sleep. And we're laying in the bottom of the boat, the only people that have the answer. And everybody else is up on the top trying to figure out what to do. And they're climbing up to the top of every mountain to try to steal the ship, but they can't because they don't have the right answer. They don't have the right answers. They think the answer is more money. They think the answer is more this, more that. They think the answer is cheating everybody, being on top. They think everything that human heart conceives, they believe is the answer, but it's not. There's only one answer. It's Jesus. He's the only answer. He's the only answer because why? Because Jesus comes into the heart of man and transforms him from a greedy thing to a son of the living God. Jesus is what comes into our hearts and transforms us from destroyers to creators. Jesus is what comes into our hearts and makes all things new. But he can't do any of that until Jonah makes a decision he's going to obey God. The voice of the Lord came to him. Voice of the Lord came to Jonah saying, the voice of the Lord has already come. The voice of the Lord is already out there. The voice of the Lord is already speaking. But Jonah's resisting the voice of the Lord. He's trying to make a decision against the voice of the Lord. But God can only move when he reveals things to his prophets. And who's the prophetic voice in the world right now. It's not one individual person. It's the whole church. We are the prophetic voice of our generation. That's why I told you, say something prophetically to your neighbor. Prophesy to your neighbor. You know what? We got to get used to speaking the word of the Lord. In season, out of season, speaking the word of the Lord. Speaking the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord is teaching me. The word of the Lord is changing me. The word of the Lord is bringing transformation into my spirit. And because it is, I need to speak that word to somebody else. We believe in transformation. Transformation happens in simple things. Common information gets made to revelation by God. Revelation, man, God is speaking. But when I know God is speaking, it's not enough. I have to decide to apply that word to my life. I have to make a decision that I'm going to apply the word of God to my life, to my situation, where I stand, right here, right now. I'm making a decision to do what God says. And when I do that, I stand on it as long as I need to see my faith bring forth the promise of God. And what gives me the ability to stand is my faith. My faith is what God has given to me in order to allow me to stand through trial, because I've already decided that Jesus is Lord. I've already decided that He is the way, the truth, and the life. I've already decided that my money belongs to God and not to me. I've already decided that my children belong to God and not to me. I've already decided that everything that I own is His and not mine. I'm only a steward of what He's given me. I have decided that my gifts are not for me. My gifts are to be given to other people in order to bless them, because my gifts are going to make room for me. And when I go, I represent Him. I've already decided those things. I've already made that decision. And so less of my life has become simple unless I choose to start taking it back. Turn real quick to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. See, Jonah's disobedience, or his failure to decide to listen to God, put other people in jeopardy. Okay. But when we make a decision to obey God, we put something else in motion. Look at this, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The world cannot, will not, cannot, is not able to be delivered from corruption that's in the world, except you bring them out. The children of God. Now, how does that make you feel when I tell you that? How does it make you feel when I tell you that the world is waiting for you? Probably one of two things happen. The first is, I'm just a child. I don't know how to speak. If any excuse whatsoever is coming to your mind right now, you need to recognize God don't take excuses. And matter of fact, not only does He not take excuses, He wants you to know that you're already ordained, that you're already called. You already have every gift and talent, ability in you already to conquer any mountain, any giant, anything that presents itself to you as an obstacle to having anything that God wants you to have. Y'all believe that? close with this. Go down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until when? Now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Guess what? You personally will never be satisfied with your life. You will never be satisfied till you fulfill what God has for you to fulfill. There's nothing you can buy. There's nothing you can make. There's nothing you can create. There's nowhere you can go that will help you fulfill what's in your heart until you obey God. Because he knew you. He already knew you before you were formed. He already knew who you were. And the only way to really get to satisfaction in life is to go where God wants you to go. Because it's a place he's already prepared for you. Twenty-something years ago, God showed me something. I saw it. And I said, and this is what I said. I said, I'm never going to speak that out of my mouth. Now, I know what the word says. It says life and death in the power of the tongue, right? I know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. I know that you shall have whatever you say. I know all that. But God showed me something, and I said, I'm not going to say it out of my mouth. I pulled a Jonah. I said, I'm not going to say it. And so I made an appointment with my pastor. I said, Pastor, I said, I need to make an appointment with you. I got to share something with you that God showed me. So I went to the meeting, and when we sat down, the meeting went the other direction. I never got to tell him. I said, oh, Lord. So I took it, I wrote it down, I stuck it in the drawer, and I walked away. And while everything has been nice, I rode around in a big fish for 20 years. See, what happened to Jonah is when God had to finally come and get him, he sent the wind. Then he sent a big fish. And the fish spit him out where he was supposed to be. I got spit out about 2 years ago. Amen? Now, what am I telling you? What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you can't hide. I'm telling you, you can hide. I'm telling you, you can jump in and live a good, cool, everything's good life. But that don't mean you're obeying God. You're only obeying God when you hear his voice and you make the decision to do what he said. What did God say? What did God direct you to? What God speak to you? What did God say to you? What is God calling you to? What is God saying for you to do? What is God moving you towards? What does God have ordained for you? When you operate and you flow there, you're going to take the giants and you're going to look at them and say, that's fine, but that's my land. Yeah, it's going to be a struggle, but you know what? That's fine, because that's my land. And I'm going to take it. It's mine. Why? Because God said it's mine. God says it's mine, then it's mine. Do you know what you need to take? Do you know where you need to obey? Have you heard the voice already? Amen. Put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder real quick. If you're too far away, that means you're going to have to scoot close to him. One of the experiences we've had since we started this church was that there are people who came to us and they said, And I'm not saying this, I want you to understand what I'm saying. They came to us and said, praise the Lord, because your obedience has blessed me. Okay? Now, the obedience only gave God access. It's not us, it's God. See, Moses really didn't deliver the children of Israel. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God is going to deliver his people. And it's God who made the difference. See, you don't have to become a deliverer. We read about Gideon last week, about Gideon said, what is this we're talking about? When God comes to him and says, I'm going to make you a deliverer. And what did God tell him? God said, you go in this might of yours, and I'll be with you. Over and over, every person God uses, the key thread that runs among every person is not that they were so gifted or so talented that they had this or they had that, they had position or money or anything else. It's never that's what it is. The common thread, the one common thread through every single person who does something great for God is God says, go and I'll be with you. Your neighbor that you have your hand on their shoulder, they can't prosper unless you rise and take your position. See, we're one body of Christ. We're one body of Christ. And they can't prosper unless you fulfill what you're called to do. We've been created as one body of Christ so that we never look at each other and say, oh, there's this great person and then there's all these other little peons in the body of Christ. This is what the word of God says. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, it says, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet born among women, but the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than him. There are no peons in the body of Christ. There's no insignificant people in the body of Christ. There's nobody in the body of Christ that does not have a purpose or a mission or a destiny attached to who they are. Not one person, not one person who says yes to God is insignificant. I don't care who you are. The only difference between all of us is going to be once you hear the voice of God, whether you will make a decision or not make a decision to fulfill what God has on your life. If next week not one person shows up at church, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand there until whoever's here finishes singing, and I'm going to come up here and preach the word. Why? Because I have a purpose. I have a mission. I have to do it. And if nobody else understands it or gets it or wants it, I don't care. If God said do it, that's what I'm going to do. Now, when I do that, what is going to happen is whoever is called to hear this voice is going to hear this voice. And if it means we got to put it on the internet, if it means we got to take it to the sky, I don't care how we got to do it. We're going to do whatever needs to be done in order that everybody who needs to hear this voice or that voice or that voice or those voices or these voices, whoever else is in here, whoever's voice needs to be heard is going to be heard. And I'm going to die making it happen. Why? Because I've already decided. I've already made a decision. I've already decided that whatever is required to preach the good news of Jesus Christ is going to be done. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And it doesn't make a difference about anything else. The decision has already been made. There ain't no backing up. There ain't no going on. Ain't no choosing another profession. Ain't none of that. I am what I am, and I'm going to be what I am. And I am going to be what I am because I am said he's with me. Yes. So that's all it requires. We're going to do what God's called us to do. We're going to fulfill what God has for us to fulfill. Now, I want you to speak life to your neighbor because you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And I want you to decide that you've been called to speak prophetically to the world. And I want you to speak life, speak something good. If you don't know what to say, just say whatever good you know you can speak. Say, I like your shoes. I don't care what you say. Say something good to them. If you got the word in your heart, speak the word of life over them. Whatever's in you, you need to speak it out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as you hear these words being spoken, we ask that you would fulfill the words that are being spoken. I thank you for every voice in this place that has a calling and an anointing on them. And I thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would do great and mighty things to them. Right now, I thank you that you are healing every broken place. You are restoring everything that has been taken. You are giving life to every single thing that is showing itself to be dead. And I thank you right now that the blessing of the Lord is making us rich. It is adding no sorrow with us, that the blessing of the Lord is with us wherever we go. We thank you that we have obedient hearts to follow and obey the voice of the Lord. And we thank you that as we obey, we will see the manifestation like we have never seen before. We thank you that the glory of the Lord will be seen throughout the nations because your people are obeying your voice, not just in this church, but in every place that people hear the voice of the Lord, where the voice of the Lord is loud, where the voice of the Lord is dim. We thank you that the Lord is fulfilling his word. We praise you and give you glory. We give you the honor. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for the transforming word of God. We thank you that by the love of God we preach this word, and we thank you by faith we stand on this word, and we thank you that by the leader of the word we are seeing your manifestation. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you right now. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. We praise you right now. We give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand on your feet with me just for a moment here? Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?